This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries. Outrageously dependable.
Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies, and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
Welcome to the Huntivore Podcast, powered by Sportsman's Empire, where we celebrate the hunting and fishing lifestyle through the utilization and consumption of our wild game. No egos.
Fork in hand, beer in the other.
No status.
A piece of red meat on a hot grill and turn it into a burnt offering.
Just catch it, cut it, cook it.
Well, hey folks, beautiful morning here in Michigan. I think we've taken a turn. The cold weather is gone. The wind, I think, is on its way. We're into summer. Just had, I would say, our first really nice day. Memorial Day itself was very nice. It made work on Tuesday ever so hard because he had to go in. We had dropped the boys off at practice, which happened to be at coach's house. We all came to pick up the kids, and literally everybody was just sitting in the driveway, had a cocktail or two as the kids were finishing up. And it was like, this is a summer party, impromptu summer party. And it was just amazing. Of course, then everybody had to say, oh, that's right, we have to go to work tomorrow. Ah, such is the life of someone who's got a 9-to-5. Such is the life of actually a teacher. It's hard because I have 2 weeks and I have to endure that. And then I get to enjoy summer. But yeah, for our full-time, all-year-round 9-to-5ers, solidarity to you. I pour a little bit out. Because, yeah, you got to keep working. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. This awesome weather has us breaking out the tailgate the grilling out, the outdoor party has become the thing that is on our minds, or at least on my mind. We've been at soccer tournaments. This will be week 3 that I will be at a soccer tournament. So 3 consecutive weekends, 3 consecutive chances to get a chance to use the Blackstone with a crowd of people. I tell you what, nothing makes me more happy. Like, if I'm going to be a part of this team, if I am a team player and I am not on the field, I feel like when I get to start up the Blackstone, that is my contribution. I feel like I am a full star when it comes to that. Being able to cook burgers, cook dogs, brats, and I actually got a chance to flex a little bit and use tacos. We're going to talk about some Blackstone tacos that I've modified, at least my process in making those. That has really come to be like, this is how I contribute to this team. I don't play offense. I don't play defense. I'm not a goalie. I'm an adult, not a child. But what I can do is I can sling meat around on a hot surface, and that's going to be my contribution. So that's how we're doing that. So our version of tailgate, yeah, like I bring my 22-inch Blackstone. They make the bigger one. They make the 36-inch. Here's my stick with the 36-inch is you're never going to fill it. Like, you can fill it with whatever you want on like a big party when you're doing all that. But like, that is such a big piece of real estate. I feel like you're, not to say like you're wasting gas, but it's like, there's just more surface there to not use. There's more surface there that can get exposed to moisture. There's just more surface to get rusty. Unless you go with the stainless, which, I mean, you're never going to outrun oxidation. That's the problem. But with these griddles, like, the more that you use it, the better off that it's going to be. And that 22-inch just has the right amount of real estate. I can feed a whole army of kids and adults from this 22-inch setup, tabletop setup. I've tried a couple different ways as far as using a stand. I actually robbed my charcoal grill stand, and I put like a board down so I could put it there and have like a little side table. And it just, everything was always cumbersome. I see these guys come out with these little like Weber tailgater grills that like, oh, look at the fold down stand, but still the thing's, you know, 40 some odd inches long. That's hard to put in the car. So I've gone with a 5-foot folding plastic table, one of the Lifetime brand ones that I got. I think I got it for Walmart for $50. It's literally one side is the grill. The other side is prep area. It works out perfect. I don't know why I was trying to ever like find a more sophisticated setup, but just getting a 5-foot plastic table works great for the Blackstone. I run a 20-pound tank. I like the pressure that I get from it. I got the regulator already. I got the hose that's already connected onto the regulator. I do come into sometimes where the valve, if I turn it on too much all to once, that will trip the valve every once in a while. And I'll get like the, even though I'm on high flame, it'll still be little flame. So you shut the whole system down, let it sit for like 30 seconds, try it again, start from the tank and then work your way up. And that it corrects itself. So I have that once in a while, but for the most part, like, it's just a bomb-proof setup. I can throw it in the back of the truck. I can throw it back in the van without any problems. I'm seeing that they do have like these cute little 5-pound or 10-pound propane tanks. I'm interested in one of those, especially for like the ice fishing side of things. taking out a little 5-pounder instead of the 20-pounder for the propane tank. That seems really, really like the go-to. They're pretty expensive though yet. So maybe I'll just hold off a little bit. I bet you this summer I end up picking one up. But anyway, rocking the 20-pounder. Kit that I use on it, I bring one metal spatula. I bring a set of tongs. I bring a large knife. That's all I need for my setup. Oh, and a towel. You got to put a towel over the shoulder. That shows you're working. When you've got the towel on the shoulder, that shows that you mean business. You are on the clock. When the towel comes off, okay, you can join back to the party. But when it's on, stay clear. Things are moving. But yeah, menu past two events. This next one going up, it might change a little bit. Brand new team, brand new set of parents, brand new orders of operation. I'm still trying to figure out how that's going to work out, like how I'm going to contribute, whether it is with the Blackstone or are we not tailgating with this team. We haven't figured that out yet. But with the previous two, dogs is always the big sell. Birds is also a good thing to do. On our first attempt at brats as well, and I've already got a fix for that. Dogs, I like to spice it up a little bit, and then I would say not even spice up. I like to jazz it up a little bit, not with any sort of seasoning, which I think if we had a way to season up some dogs just to make them a little bit more exciting, that might be something I need to do. But I do a crosshatch on the top of the dog just for presentation. And it really does, like, that is now my known for, like, where did you get that hot dog? Oh, I got it from Nick, because look at that crosshatch. We're like, oh, Otto's here because he is putting the crosshatch on the hot dogs. And it's a simple, I think I picked it up from Meat Church on a video, simple way to dress up your dogs. Started at 45 degree, and all I'm doing is like scoring the top of the dog. So what I do is I'll open up the full top of the package so that the dogs are still wrangled together. They're still in a straight line. And I'll start bottom right corner. I'll make a slice, go in a little bit, and then I'll move, half inch is too much, quarter inch is too little, like a third of an inch almost. It's like right there in the happy medium, 3/8. And then I make a slice. Then I make another slice and slice them up. So slice all the way along from bottom left to upper right. Then I give the whole package a spin. And then I'll do that same process, but now coming from the other direction. And what that'll do is those little X's ends up making little diamonds on the dog. I'll start with the diamond side down, the scored side down. Put those on the hot griddle. Give those just a minute. And I hung them together so they kind of just hold each other in place. And then with one, move of the tongs, I just roll them forward a quarter turn or eighth of a turn. And then it'll reveal when those are done enough. So once I have a nice little Maillard reaction, once I brown those up on that side, I just roll them over and I just keep that process going. On the other side of the grill, there's other times too where, like, hey, we don't got time to wait. So I just throw on the kid dogs. They don't wait for the scored ones. They don't wait for the jazzed up ones. They just want a hot dog. So I got the other ones already set up, ready to go, going a little bit quicker without the zhuzhing. So there's our hot dog. I've also done where as soon as I start it up, because it does take a little bit longer than anticipated, but I'll take a can of Hormel chili or any hot dog chili, take the top off, and then I will put that on the Blackstone as that Blackstone's heating up, and I just let it heat all the way up through, give it a spin. So literally I'm heating up the chili on the Blackstone the entire time. And so now coming over, they'll just grab a spoon that's there, they'll dip out. And so shoot, we've gone from tailgating with just the two condiments that you can imagine, just being mustard and ketchup, to now we've opened up the whole idea of chili dog. I go out there with onion. I get out there. We bring the shredded cheese, the shredded cheese. We've got the chili. Shoot, our one friend has good hookup for shreddies. Like, we are making deluxe glizzies out here at the tailgate for watching our children play soccer. Like, nothing warms my heart more than a, like, well done hot dog. Now, I'm not a big ketchup guy. That might be against what you do. But anyway, like, you know, when we get the Dijon out there, when we get the seedy mustard out there as well, like, people are bringing their specialty stuff. It does. It really just, the deluxe hot dog has really made itself apparent. Flexing right that on over to the Bergs for burgers. Honestly, it's on my own list. I think I talked about it in a couple episodes ago. I'm in a bit of a freezer faux pas right now. My grind material, all material to make ground venison, is at the bottom of this 8-foot chest freezer. There's like 4 animals on top of it, and I need to then empty it all out. So I have not made fresh burger, and it's kind of killing me right now because I have the fat. I'm using pork trimmings. I use pork back fat along with my burg, and it just, I haven't been able to find the time to do it, nor to dig it out from the abyss that's at the bottom. So it's, we've been living without the burger, and that's been a little hard. So anyway, it's been frozen Costco patties that have been going on. Not necessarily my favorite. The other thing that happens too is, like, They should come out of the freezer and then into whatever cooler. And I think they should have a chance to thaw a little bit. I think they should be thawed out, because the product that comes out after, like, when you just throw the frozen pucks onto the Blackstone, just don't get it turns into this bubbly mess, gray over, like, brown. I just haven't perfected that, nor do I have the time, because I'm sitting out there, and with that being a new addition that people want burgers, it's like, I'd rather go with a smash burger. I'd rather find a better way to make something a little bit nicer. The problem is time is of the essence. So that's another thing that I got to work on, is how to properly do frozen burger patties. Whether that's, as soon as we get there, I'm like, hey, give me them patties. I got to get them out. I got to get them a little bit soft so that I get a better cook on them. I don't know what that's going to look like. But anyway, that's the end on the Bergs. I also like mayo, way better of a toaster product than butter when it comes to trying to toast buns. That I have found really good. Almost like a brush on, just a real thin layer. Very much like I do when you're searing up venison. I use a brush, and I just hit it with a little bit of mayo, almost like a translucent layer. Much better Maillard reaction, much better browning, not any scorching on your venison. Far better. I think that was a long time ago that we did that. That's kind of where I got that was like one of my early epiphanies. But anyway, using that on the buns, throw those down, get them a little bit of a crispin, then put the burger on there. So that's been the one saving grace of the burgers, is that we've been able to add in a toasted bun. Now for my tacos. My Blackstone tacos I find to be quick, efficient, and man, are they tasty. Doing those on there, you get, you know, already heating the meat up either on one side and then transfer them over to the other. The melty cheese, the simplicity of it, the high heat on the tortilla. You know, you get it bubbly, you get it crispy. I'm a corn shell guy. That automatically, I think, makes half of you that are listening upset, because you are flour tortilla people. But either way, like, either corn or flour, they are top notch. this time when we were out there, I did get these foil pans. Long story on the foil pans. It's like a square cake. I think it's like an 8x8. Somebody brought brats and we had to do the long cook. I didn't have any covers. So it was literally just, I had to turn that thing on low and let those things just kind of percolate on the Blackstone. Took a long, long time for the brats. I wasn't prepared. I wasn't ready. I didn't have any pans. Now I'm always coming with pans now because that way I can crack a beer, make a brat bath, turn that sucker up hot, drop those things in for, you know, a few minutes and really get them done on the inside, then give them the color. That's that process with the brat versus the dog thing is it's just like, man, I should have been prepared. Now I've got a plan for it. So I bring these 8x8s. There's usually a tall boy, Busch Light, that I keep in the little cooler that's been there forever because it's only worthy of cooking brats at this point. I wouldn't necessarily drink it. But anyway, it was like, yep, that's going to be our brat beer for that. So anyway, I got these pans. So I was able to take, at least on this episode or on this try, I sealed up a bunch of carnitas or pulled pork, essentially, that I left unseasoned. I left it, and I also ladled in a bunch of the rendered fat from these pork shoulders that I did. These were the pork shoulders that I made a couple months ago. They're in the freezer because I'm trying to now use up a bunch of that stuff out of the freezer. Give me some more work room. Two big shoulders, shredding them all out, ladled in the fat into these bags, sealed them up, froze them up. Now it's like literally grab and go. How much? Maybe 2 pounds of shredded are in these. And I thought that was a great start for tacos. I think I can make quite a few tacos, get people at least interested in the taco fare. So yeah, back to those tacos. I would take instead now, I've been using I'm going to say it wrong. Cotija cheese? Anyway, essentially a Mexican-style mozzarella, a real creamy, melty cheese. That actually hits the griddle first. You're like, you're going to just burn that stuff on to the griddle and it's going to mess it up. No, just hear me out. So I sprinkle about the size of the tortilla. So this last time that I did it, I used smaller tortillas. I'm going quality over quantity at this point. So smaller tortillas, you hit that key down onto the griddle, and then the tortilla goes on top. At that point, I'm letting that just bubble up. I'm just letting that essentially brown, and it's going to adhere to the tortilla. I then follow the top of the tortilla that's blank now, hit that with more of the cheese. Then I spread on the meat that I've already heated up and seasoned. And then that's going to then get set open faced for, man, if I was going to give it a time, literally like 45 seconds to a minute. I'm then going to take my spatula, scoop under, fold over, and essentially now make the taco at that point. And then I'm going to get a chance, check the up face. Is it done enough? If it's not, I'm going to then spatula onto the one side, flip it over to get that side done. It just gives me a chance to check and see how browned and how adhered the cheese is to the tortilla. And that's my one last check. Before then, I'm doing, six to eight at a time. You then get a chance to scoop those off, get those on a sheet, a plate, or whatever. And then people approach you and say, hey, I need a taco. And boom, you can just distribute those things out handedly. I just think it's a great setup. You see a ton of recipes for different tacos and stuff. And I really find like this form and function works really well. If you're a corn tortilla person, boom, this does a great job. If you're a flour tortilla person, this also does an incredible job. if you're a birria taco person, where we actually pre-dip the tortilla in a spicy, peppery, like broth, almost real fatty broth, so it adheres to the top or the tortilla, soaks into it. I have yet to get a birria dip onto mine to give that a shot. I think that would just be absolutely fantastic. But the meat did enough to stand alone to really bring a bunch of that flavor. Tactic I used, and I kind of skipped this over, is when I took the meat, unseasoned, essentially I salted it. I did put a little bit of seasoning on the outside of this pork butt before I shredded it, but I didn't go too crazy. I wanted it to be gone in different directions. I can go many different places with this pulled pork. If I want to go sweet barbecue, I can then put on the seasoning as I heat it up through, hit it with some barbecue sauce, make some sandwiches. If I want to go taco route like I'm doing now, I'm turning those into basically a pulled pork taco at that point. But I bagged it all up and I actually ladled in the liquid fat before I sealed these and then froze them. That fat did a great job at two things. One, preventing, again, any freezer burn. Two, it keeps the meat moist because as it cools down, there's a confit style to it. Confit is when you braise meat in either its own fat or another fat. And then as it cools down, the meat will then soak up some of that fat, creating a real velvety texture. So this essentially does that with the pork. But then even on top of that, when I open this bag and I put the meat onto the hot griddle, I don't have to add any more fat. There's already enough fat incorporated. And I mean, fat equals flavor. It also works as a great vessel. I took a dry Chipotle taco seasoning packet. I opened it up and literally just dumped the whole packet. And the packet was for a pound of ground, essentially, or at least measured out for that. And so like I was able to put this out. The Chipotle just came out really well in this. But as the bottom of that meat is beginning to really crispen up against that griddle and I'm hitting it with the seasoning, I use that spatula and I just fold it over in on itself, incorporating that seasoning in well, but at the same time, crispening all the little edges of that pork. So when you do get that taco, not only do you get the moist, succulent meat with all the flavor of the seasoning and of this being wild boar, you get that real rich porky flavor. But on top of that, you're getting those crunchy bits that are on the tips that have really crispened up. You get just a whole load of flavor in with that because, you know, you get the smokiness going from it being on the smoker. It also just jives with the Chipotle flavor and really just pops. So every single bite is a full depth of flavor. The crispy cheese on the outside of even a soft flour tortilla, you just get all the textures there. So it was like, this was a home run. And before long, people are like, you got any more of that taco left? You got any more of those? You got any more stuff that you can make tacos with? Any more boar? And I was like, yeah, I'm out. But that's one thing that I learned. In fact, I think it was Hank Shaw. He goes, one thing that I want to make sure that when I'm feeding people, I want to leave them always wanting more. And there's a bunch of people on my boys' soccer team that are definitely wanting more. So that was a huge, huge success. And that's the same thing is it's like, it's super easy to do. After your first three tacos that maybe you mess up a little bit, you get your order of operations down. And after that, you're just flipping out tacos to people left and right. Everybody's happy. Everybody's having a good time. And you can dress it with whatever you like. My classic is if I got a Mexican crumbly cheese, I'll throw that on. because we've already got the melty cheese on there. But we're going to do fresh cilantro. We're going to do fresh onion, just chopped white onion, really add some zip to it and a squeeze lime. I mean, that does it right there for me. That simple, just little packet of goodness off the Blackstone, it just really sells. So anyway, that's my tailgating experience. I'm not sure I'm going to get into the tacos with the upcoming outing. We're still even deciding if I'm taking the Blackstone. So we'll find that information out here soon enough. So yeah, that's what's going on in my world, is just trying to eat more wild game, trying to utilize what I have. Going through a lot of boar here in the springtime. Pork is just a springtime meat, it feels. It kind of lines right up there with wild turkey. I mean, I can't think of anything more spring. Was inspired by, I don't have anything ready to go. I don't have any of my references. But anyway, found a guy on Instagram just searching around, and he made a French-style mustard cream sauce and basically drowned his chicken thighs in those. So starts out with the chicken thighs getting seared off, pulled, and then the sauce is made in the same plate. Meat's reintroduced. You heat the meat through, you ladle on the sauce, and it's just absolutely incredible. I did it with, I didn't have any red wine on hand. I know I should have that, but I substituted bourbon. I didn't even have any Dijon or like spicy mustard. I had yellow mustard from More Hot Dogs, and I had Worcestershire sauce. So I mixed Worcestershire and yellow mustard to kind of get the tangy zip that I was looking for from the mustard. And that was my add-in for that. But you get your onions, you get them seared down, you get your garlic in there, you get it warmed through. Hit it with your liquor. I went with the bourbon at that point. Burned off the alcohol. I used turkey stock that I had made from Thanksgiving. So added some in there. Got that bubbling up. I was going to reduce that down to thicken that up. That's when then we added in the mustard. A couple other, you add your salt then at that point too. Poured in half and half. Add my cream. And then again, reduce that to where it could be thick on the backside of a spoon. And I tell you what, like if you need something to accompany your already really dynamic turkey, add in a French style mustard cream sauce. Man, oh man, that just elevated everything. If I were to add anything to it, it would have been some grilled asparagus off to the side, and shoot, just ladled that sauce all over that as well. Just a banger of a sauce to add to something that, is already pretty delicate, pretty light, be it the white meat. That'd be a great add on that. So folks, whether it's you're going to be cutting up some of your wild bird to be thrown into a mustard sauce, or it's you trying to feed a ton of people with a bunch of glizzies and you're going to just add a little crosshatch to the top, make sure whatever knife you are using is very sharp.